This is The Guardian.
Hi, I'm Noor Haidar, coming to you from Gadigal land. Should athletes be allowed or even encouraged to use performance-enhancing drugs? That's an Australian businessman's proposal called the Enhanced Games. It's an idea that's caused controversy in the sporting world, but it's been embraced by one of the biggest names in swimming, Australian Olympic medalist James Magnusson. Others, however, have criticised it as dangerous and morally dubious. Today, we bring you an episode of The Guardian's Science Weekly podcast, which explores this debate. Here's host and UK science editor Ian Sample.
Last summer, an eye-catching new sporting event started to generate a buzz.
Businessman Aaron D'Souza launching a new kind of Olympic Games, he's calling it, the Enhanced Games for athletes who would otherwise be banned from international competition.
The Enhanced Games promised to make sport fairer and more transparent by allowing athletes to take banned performance-enhancing drugs.
At all. We're creating a level, open playing field. Cheating is happening at the Olympic Games because they have a highly constrained environment with an artificial rule set. And in the Enhanced Games, we want to do everything out in the open to create a much safer, fairer, truthful
environment. Are you deadly serious about this?
Absolutely.
Among the immediate concerns about safety and the ethical implications was some pretty hefty skepticism that an event like this could ever actually get off the ground.
You think you can genuinely put on an event where everyone's doped up?
Absolutely.
But this month, Ridley Scott's production company announced a docuseries following the Games and a casting call for 10 athletes willing to compete. So today, we're asking, what's the fascination with the Enhanced Games all about? Who will want to take part? And what could it do to their bodies and to sport if they do? I'm The Guardian science editor, Ian Sample, and this is Science Weekly.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
How can a people-first approach to higher education transformation improve success? An EY report suggests that taking emotional and psychological factors into account is just as important as the technology. Six factors drive this human-centered approach: leadership, inspiration, care, empowerment, investment, and collaboration. Get these right, and they can more than double an organization's chance of transformation success. Learn more about people-first transformation at theguardian.com/transforming higher education. This message was paid for by EY.
Barney Ronay, you're The Guardian's chief sports writer, and you recently wrote about the controversial Enhanced Games. So, first of all, what do we actually know about them so far?
Well, the Enhanced Games are a planned sports event. No one quite knows when or where it's going to take place, but the best guess is 2025, somewhere in America. And the unique selling point of the Enhanced Games is that there will be no drug testing. The planned events so far, I think, are athletics, swimming, and combat sports. And the point is they will be a showcase for human potential, where human potential is measured as how efficiently you can run, swim, and hit people while on drugs. They launched this a couple of years ago and claim to have had at least 500 professional athletes get in touch with them expressing an interest in being involved. And it's being sold, because it's a pitch, because these are people who are doing this as a commercial enterprise, almost like a freedom kind of body positivity event. Like, who are we to judge? Who are we to judge? Let us free ourselves from the what they describe, literally describe, as the colonial mindset of considering some substances to be harmful to people's bodies, and just dope as much as we want and we'll hold an extreme event.
I am a proud enhanced athlete.
The Olympics hate me. I need your help to come out. I need your help to stop hate. I need your help for the world to embrace science.
And we will stream this on, you know, one of the major streaming services and see where it leads.
And these games are the brainchild of Aaron D'Souza. What do we know about him?
He is an Australian businessman. He's the fixer here. He's the guy who's got together the funders, who we do know things about, who tend to be sort of tech billionaires and with a bit of money to spend, who like coming up with the next big idea. This D'Souza guy certainly sees the IOC as essentially a sort of corrupt organisation hoarding sport in its own back pocket.
That's the International Olympic Committee.
That's right, yeah. They are the they're the cartel, they're the old guard, and they need to be smashed by his idea, which he hopes will displace the Olympic Games as the ultimate measure of, you know, sitius, altius, fortius, on drugius. The pitch is very strong. The pitch is all about empowering humans and freeing us all from the stigma of these words like doping and cheating. And purely my view, it's kind of nauseating.
Have any athletes publicly signed up for it?
Yes, the Australian swimmer James Magnusson, who's an Olympic medalist, has said he's going to come out of retirement to compete in it and try and break the 50-metre freestyle world record, which is quite a massive coup for the Enhanced Games.
And Aaron D'Souza from the Enhanced Games says, we've got $1 million US in escrow waiting for you to come on board and break the world record for the 50-free.
And he's the guy who said, I'm going to juice myself to the gills and I'll break it in 6 months, because he's no longer working in his sport anymore and he will do it for the money. And I guess that's, you know, fair enough. He's free to do whatever he wants. But no current active athlete with a chance of winning a medal that I know of has actually said, yep, I'm going to give up competing clean and go for this.
And what's the response been from, you know, the major sports organisations like the World Anti-Doping Agency?
I mean, horror and disdain. I mean, they're being accused of being corrupt colonialists by these sort of billionaires who like to portray themselves as the underclass. Seb Coe the other day publicly came out, described it as moronic.
Well, it's isn't it? Really? I mean, I can't really get excited about it, you know.
I think he's right. It is moronic. That captures quite nicely the faux intellectualism behind what is essentially a money-making scheme. If you want to win at this, you'll still have to train like an athlete. You'll just find these peculiar gains that you wouldn't have got otherwise, which are multiplied and maximized by the drugs. So it's not, you're not really testing human capacity, but human plus drug capacity. So you won't get me turning up with a sort of beer gut winning the 100 metres because I've taken the latest miracle drug. They will be sensational athletes and it will be sensational to watch, but it will also be fake and gerrymandered and strange and unregulated.
When our parents were our age, their lives looked a lot different than ours.
Young Australians are the first generation to be worse off than our parents. And we're told it's our fault.
But is it?
Who screwed millennials?
Not one person, not one place, not one bogeyman.
We're seeing a real shift in how we talk about economic instability and whose fault it is.
I'm Jane Lee.
And I'm Matilda Bosley. Listen to Who Screwed Millennials on Spotify or your favourite podcast player.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Dr. Peter Angel, you're an associate professor in sport and exercise sciences at Liverpool Hope University, and you're an expert in how anabolic steroids affect the cardiovascular system. Can you talk me through some of the performance-enhancing drugs that are banned by the World Anti-Doping Agency, the kinds of things we might see come into play if these enhanced games go ahead?
You have your anabolic agents, which is probably the ones that people are most familiar with related to the vast array of different anabolic steroids. You've got different growth factors and peptide hormones, things like growth hormone or EPO, which people might be familiar with as well. But then you've also got other subsections as well, such as the beta 2 agonists, which are kind of the bronchodilators, like salbutamol, which you might use for asthma. Other hormones and metabolic modulators, things like aromatase inhibitors to prevent the conversion of testosterone to estrogen, for example, as well as a number of other stimulants which people might be familiar with, like amphetamines and beta blockers as well, which can reduce anxiety.
That's a really long list. I mean, let's focus on anabolic steroids. What do they do to the body? How do they affect it?
They encourage the increase in muscle mass. So anabolic steroids replicate the effect of testosterone within the body. So they will effectively bind with receptors cells and cause the cell to upregulate the amount of protein synthesis that's going on. So rather than being in a balanced state or a slightly positive muscle growth state, what this does is it really tips the scale so that we are seeing a significant increase in protein synthesis and therefore an increase in muscle mass.
So if these games were to go ahead, would different athletes probably use different drugs, say a 100-meter sprinter compared to a marathon runner?
Yes, definitely. The type of drugs they would use would be very much focused towards their events. So for those sort of power-based events, which are very short in duration but rely on kind of strength, on power, maybe a Olympic weightlifter or a sprinter, leaning towards the kind of anabolic agents, your anabolic steroids, maybe your growth hormone as well. The marathon runner might use things like EPO or drugs that will stimulate red blood cell production. They might use beta 2 agonists to help increase their aerobic capacity. So yeah, depending on the demands of the sport, the characteristics of the sport, we could see a very different regime of drugs used by those individuals.
And what do we know about the harms of taking anabolic steroids?
It's obviously hard to get people to really admit that they take it, certainly high-level athletes. Those people that do admit, it's difficult sometimes to get the scale of numbers that we need, but we definitely have indications that there are increased risks from taking these type of drugs. We have seen that there is an increased cardiovascular risk. This might be from an increase in heart size, maybe a stiffening of some of the chambers of the heart as well, so it doesn't relax as well. With that and the kind of increased stress that can place on the cardiovascular system, we might also see maybe an increase in the actual viscosity of blood as well. So if you combine this increase in viscosity of blood, the potential therefore increased thromboembolisms, blockages can lead to then cardiovascular events. There's an inherent risk pretty much with anything that is interrupting normal endogenous production of hormones or regulating kind of metabolic control.
Have we got a good sense of how much difference these drugs might make, how much they might improve performance? I mean, I don't know if we could expect to see, you know, like an 8-second 100 meters or what have you.
We do have some data in some areas. It's quite difficult to quantify for the long-term kind of training. We know in the short term, certain stimulants definitely have an impact. We know that taking certain amphetamines or even something like caffeine in reasonably large doses can have a positive impact. These drugs are banned because they work. We know that steroids work. They allow you to train for longer, to recover quicker, and for the impact of that training to be that much greater. So whilst it's quite difficult because we might not be seeing the very, very best athletes in the world undertaking these events, you know, with performance enhancements, if we actually look at the data, we know that there's going to be impact. So in a way, there's every possibility we could see significant drops in the times, for example, for certain events. But the scale of which that would be is quite difficult to actually pin down.
I'm trying to think if there's sort of, you know, a potentially positive side to these games. And one argument, I suppose, might be, look, it brings transparency to what's going on around doping, that it would all be out in the open. People would know, presumably, who's taken what and in what amounts. And we might actually learn about the risks associated with it. And we haven't had that before. Am I clutching at straws?
I think there is an argument there, in theory, that we could gain some insight. We might know what people are doing. But at the same time, are people going to really actually give all the information? Are they going to give the full regimens of what they're taking for how long? And whilst we might get a decent insight in the short term, we're still not getting that long-term view of the impact this can have. I think whenever there's money involved, there's always going to be a drive for people to gain an advantage, to try and have something different that their competitors don't have. And they're not going to want to share that.
Peter, if these enhanced games go ahead, do you think you'd be watching?
I think it'd be difficult not to. I think there is a curious fascination with these sort of things, just to see what is possible. I wouldn't necessarily be encouraging it, so I wouldn't necessarily pay for it. But if it was out there, I think it would be somewhat hard to resist.
Barney, we know that something like 4 million Americans already take performance-enhancing drugs. So, you know, is there actually an appetite for this kind of games, as nuts as they sound?
Yeah, massively. I think it's a big generational thing to be appalled by this. I mean, I'm 50 years old and grew up watching sport where East Germany was sort of doping people in this really brutal way, and it's associated with cheating. Not just East Germany, and let's make that quite clear, but it's associated very clearly with a kind of unregulated experiment on human beings, and their athletes we know who really suffered. But I'm not sure that younger people really see it like that. There's a global kind of gym culture, an obsession with the way people look, a kind of internet narcissism, and a sense of taking charge of your body and saying, well, if I don't like the way I look, why not change it? And, you know, fair enough. That's what this is speaking to, and winkling its knife into that gap and saying, OK, you accept that kind of culture. Let us sell you this, and we'll sell you it by telling you it's new and that it's kicking against the old powers and colonialism and all that stuff.
Do you worry about how an event like this could just distort the fundamentals of what sport is and what we think it should all be about?
Yeah, definitely. Partly because you're just blurring those lines. And once you do that, you're entering it is an entirely different world of the enhanced versus the failed and desperate but largely successful attempts to police doping, or at least keep it to a minimum. There's been no consensus on this. We've not had a vote. Nobody's decided we should start to break down these walls. It's just happening. And there are some sports where it's genuinely dangerous. Doping in boxing and combat sports is particularly frowned on because it's incredibly dangerous. And it also sort of takes away the point of it. The point is not extreme performance. The point is the road you take to get there, the discipline, the hard work, the sense of health, nutrition, all that stuff. I mean, that is the point of sport. That should be where sport starts from, not from how hard can I punch someone if I take lots of drugs, which just seems to me inane.
Barney, huge thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Many thanks again to Barney Ronne, who you can hear as a regular commentator on The Guardian's Football Weekly podcast, and to Dr. Peter Angel. That's all from us today. The producer was Joshin Chana. The sound designer was Tony Onochuku. And the executive producer was Ellie Bury.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
How can a people-first approach to higher education transformation improve success? An EY report suggests that taking emotional and psychological factors into account is just as important as the technology. Six factors drive this human-centered approach: leadership, inspiration, care, empowerment, investment, and collaboration. Get these right, and they can more than double an organization's chance of transformation success. Learn more about people-first transformation at theguardian.com/transforming higher education. This message was paid for by EY.